Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Are you getting too much music? Pulitzer Prize-winning author Edmund Morris worries that we are. He suggests a low-calorie diet for the musically obese.
What is enormously valuable about music is its primacy of expression. And if it becomes over-familiar, it loses its magic.
Edmund Morris is best known for his groundbreaking biography of President Teddy Roosevelt. He also wrote a hugely controversial biography of Ronald Reagan. He first suggested that too much access to music made it feel less important back in the 70s. You wonder what he would say about that now, with music all around us and everything available with a click of a button. Well, we'll find out when he joins us later. We also have live songs from the country music couple of Bruce Robison and Kelly Willis. And we have a dancing baby. Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka, ooga, ooga. I can't stop this feeling. You remember the dancing baby, right? It's 1996. You open up your CompuServe email account and see that someone has sent you a short repeating file of a baby in a diaper dancing silently. But soon it would be paired up with this old song from the 70s called Hooked on a Feeling and used on the TV show Ally McBeal, and voila, the dancing baby would become one of the first viral sensations. Still, it all began with one of those short, animated loops known as GIFs, or GIFs. It's spelled G-I-F. Now, this may sound like ancient internet history, but these little looped files have come roaring back in the last year or so, and many of them are music-related. Joining me here in the studio is Chadwick Matlin. He's senior editor of Reuters Opinion, and he wrote about this phenomenon in The New Republic. So, Chad, first things first, are we saying GIF or JIF?
It depends if you want to be official or not. GIF is the intended name 25 plus years ago when it was created, and it was supposed to be like the peanut butter.
Really?
Then choosy developers choose GIF. But that being said, the letters GIF certainly look like GIF to everyone else.
Because it stands for
Graphical Interface Format.
Right, so it's a hard
G. Maybe it's graphic interface, yeah.
So what do you say? Do you say GIF or JIF?
When I was reporting this piece I wrote for The New Republic about GIFs, on the phone I would say GIF so I could sound like an informed reporter. But that being said, when my friends read it, they all said GIF to me. So perhaps that's a sign of what it should be.
All right, so what is this file? I mean, what was its intended purpose and what has it become?
So originally its intended purpose was to move images on the internet in a sort of compressed file format so that there wasn't a lot of – the size wasn't too big because, mm-hmm. of course, we're dealing with the screechy days of narrowband modems. But one of the hallmarks of the GIF format is that it can pack multiple frames inside of one file. And then it can also play those frames in sequence. And so what we call that usually is an animation, right? Multiple images that scan mm-hmm. forward. And then the interesting quirk is that it loops those frames over and over and over again into infinity.
Right. So very early on in the Internet 1.0, you would see things, the dancing baby.
Right. The famous one is the dancing baby, which ended up on Ally McBeal. I don't know what the sequence was, but you can picture that one. Or in an old web network called GeoCities, which has been retired, there were multiple types of GIFs that all said under construction, mm-hmm. which are the famous ones, as someone was building the site, and they're actually now all on display in the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens.
So it's become an art form. It's become something that's been like a received tradition. It's now in museums.
Right, exactly. Things. So what's in museums is the lowbrow and the highbrow museums right. are now putting photographic GIFs in there.
Okay, so it's a 25-year-old technology that was very basic, so basic it would work even over your dial-up connection. And the allure of it was animation that never stopped. It just looped. And it would be like, what, four seconds, 6 seconds?
Right. Originally, they were even shorter. They were usually just four frames because you couldn't pack much more in.
Okay. So how do we get from that to something that seemed to have been you know, a passé form of internet technology to 2013, and suddenly GIFs or GIFs, whatever you call them, are everywhere.
The same way that we now see 80s fashion everywhere. We got far enough away from the original movement of art that now there's a nostalgia to it, that to bring this back, there's sort of a retro chic thing going on. And so what we see now is a lot of digital artists take up the medium as an easier way to present animated art than sticking it in YouTube and maybe having a 30-second ad that goes before it.
Right. So this is very much associated with Tumblr, the rise of Tumblr?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it was in the corners of the internet on Reddit and FARC and various other message boards before Tumblr, but Tumblr made it shareable and also made it easy to give credit to who was the original GIF creator. Mm-hmm. And so GIF artists tended toward there because then they knew that their name would be associated to it.
We're speaking with Chadwick Matlin. He recently wrote an article for The New Republic called Inside the GIF Industrial Complex, How the Animated Image File Took Over the Internet. You can find a link on our website, soundcheck.org. Also joining me here in the studio is Joshua Carafa, musician and creator of Music History in GIF's website. Joshua, do you say GIF or GIF?
GIF?
You say GIF. Okay. All these years I've been saying GIF, so I'm glad that, you know, both of you seem to be on my side of the pronunciation divide. Explain what your Tumblr site is.
My Tumblr is basically telling the history of music through short animated GIFs.
Which look like they have the look of very early video games. I mean, I'm talking like Pong, Tank.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. And the only reason for that is that I love it. And, you know, it's sort of, it's where I come from, you mm-hmm. know.
So where did you get the idea to do this? Is music history in very, very short repeating animated loops?
Well, you know, I'm a musician, so I'm thinking about music all the time anyways. Mm-hmm. And I love music history. I love, like, learning about it. And I thought it was just a good way to tell the story because I think that's what GIFs are. They're a good way to convey that kind of information in a fun way.
Uh-huh. And is it sort of geared towards, you know, the attention span of people?
Attention span has a lot to do with it. It's you know, it's hard. It's hard to keep people's attention on uh-huh. the internet. And GIFs are short and easy to grab, you know.
So what was the first moment in music history that you chose to... What's the verb here? GIFify?
I think GIF, you can verb GIF.
Yeah. So what was the first one?
The first one was the Beatles playing the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Tomorrow I'll miss you.
That's the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show back in 1964. That is the beginning of music history, according to Joshua Carafa.
Nothing happened before that.
Nothing happened. There was no music before that. So that's the first of these little GIFs. How long are your GIFs generally?
Usually under 4 frames. Sometimes they're longer, up to 20 or 30.
Okay. There's one of a later one of the Beatles simply walking across Abbey Road.
That's right, yep.
So that one probably takes a few more frames.
Yeah, that was maybe 10 to 15.
Okay. Then, yeah. Now, here's the thing, guys. We're talking about a form of technology, possibly a form of art, that is basically traditionally silent. Right, Chad?
Right, exactly. And that was partly because of those size limitations that I was talking about earlier. But what's interesting is that now we have very GIF-type file formats being created, the most recent one being Vine, which is created via by the team at Twitter. And those can have sound, and they still loop over and over again. But they're technically video files, but they look like GIF because the GIF aesthetic has so seeped into the mainstream.
And began to do so really like last year, right? 2012 was the year of the renaissance of the GIF.
That's the year that mainstream sources, I think, acknowledged that the GIF had made a comeback. The Oxford American Dictionary had named it, and that named GIF the word of the year.
Joshua, when did you start your GIF Tumblr, your GIF Tumblr?
About 6 months ago.
In 2012.
2012, yeah.
All right. And what makes a good GIF for you?
That's a hard question. It's, you know, there are a lot of ways you can do it. The whole point is to just draw you in and grab you. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to do it. I think comedy is a huge part. Most good gifts are funny.
Isn't it sort of an ironic thing for you to do, being a musician and, you know, blogging about big moments in music history in a format that is silent?
Yeah. And I don't know, the way I add music to it is just through links that you can jump to from the descriptions.
There's a whole bunch of GIFs out there, or GIFs, again, choose your pronunciation, where people have added music and the music kind of loops around. Any thought of going that direction down the road?
Maybe, but to me it kind of changes the medium. It makes it different.
Now, Chad, what about you? What do you think's next for the medium of the GIF?
I'm not sure if it will retain its dominance now that we have these types of things like Vine coming around. That being said, there are more and more programs that let you make your own GIF very easily. So the way we Instagram photos, there are now very copycat apps on smartphones in which you can make your own GIFs, and there's a social network just around sharing GIFs of your life.
We've been talking about the GIF, or GIF, spelled G-I-F, stands for Graphical Interchange Format, 25-year-old technology that has seen a huge boost in popularity on Tumblr and elsewhere lately. And we've been speaking with Chadwick Matlin, senior editor for Reuters Opinion. His article for The New Republic on the GIF, or GIF, industrial complex is, you can link to it on our website at soundcheck.org. And Joshua Carafa, musician and creator of the Music History in GIFs. I will use the hard G for Josh because that's what he uses. His Tumblr page at musichistoryingifs.com. Guys, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.
This is Soundcheck.
I'm down, I'm in the neck connection. 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 I'm down.
What do you think about the recent GIF renaissance, or GIF? Are they art, or are they just a passing trend? Sound off at soundcheck.org.